you know, in light of what just happened in New Zealand with the terrible massacre there, I want us just to think for a moment about this fear of others. And we see around the world that there's a rise of hatred of others who are different, who have a different culture or religion. That is what we may term as the fear of the other. It's on the rise once again, and we really need to be aware of that and do what we can to combat that in our lives. The wicked Haman, some of you are still awake. Wow. The wicked Haman relied on an ancient conspiracy theory that if people are different, then they cannot be trusted. That's what he relied on. A theory that if people are different, they cannot be trusted. We read this in Esther chapter 3, verse 8. Then Haman said to King Xerxes, "There is a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom, whose customs are different from those of all other people, and who do not obey the king's laws." Now that was a lie, of course. It's not true. And Haman goes on to say, "It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them." And so right there you see the spirit of anti-Semitism back, what's that, about almost 2,500 years ago. Just because we Jews are different, and just because the Bible calls us God's chosen people. By the way, that's so important for us to remember. We never called ourselves that. Sometimes it's a little bit embarrassing in actual fact, but it's the fact that God actually said that. God called the Jewish people. And because God has kept us as a people for thousands of years, then whenever we have found ourselves in whatever country, many have hated us because in their minds we are different and therefore cannot be trusted. Purim, of course, speaks of the spirit of this age, the spirit of anti-Semitism that seeks to destroy God's people. This evil spirit, in fact, behind that, of course, is Satan himself, has always tried to eradicate the Jewish people, because if the Jewish people can be annihilated, then God can be proven to be a liar, because then all of his promises to his people could not be fulfilled. But let's examine this whole idea of the fear of other a little bit further. Remember what Haman said, because the Jews are different and their customs are different, they cannot be trusted. Not only is this the root of anti-Semitism, but also, of course, it is the root of all racism and xenophobia. We're living in a time in history when xenophobia is on the increase once again. And we need to be very careful that we do not get swept up in any of that frenzy. The dictionary defines xenophobia as deep-rooted fear towards foreigners, a fear of the unfamiliar. The word comes from the ancient Greek word xenos, of course, meaning strange or foreigner, and phobos, meaning fear. What does the Bible say about xenophobia? Well, of course, the Bible doesn't use that term, but Yeshua had a lot to say about our attitude and responsibility to those that we perceive as our enemies. Matthew 5, verse 43 and verse 48 says, This is Yeshua speaking. "You have heard that our fathers were told, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Then you'll become children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun shine on good and bad people alike. And he sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous alike. What reward do you get if you love only those who love you? Why, even tax collectors do that. And if you are friendly only to your friends, are you doing anything out of the ordinary? Even the goyim do that. Therefore, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So Yeshua said also elsewhere, "Be merciful to your enemies. Bless your enemies. Do good to your enemies. Forgive your enemies. Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies." And so the book of Esther shows us that God has purposed for us as human beings to join with him in his redemptive purposes in this world. We are partners with him in redemption, and I think that is a glorious thought. It gives us a lot of dignity and purpose in life if we understand that we, of course, are his hands and his feet, and he uses us to accomplish his will. And if we won't do it, who will? Well, the truth is highlighted in Esther 4:14, as Leora reminded us. If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. But that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. Esther, of course, was placed in her position to be a redeemer for God's people. I mean, if you think about Esther, she really had it quite tough, to be quite honest. She didn't have any parents. She was raised by her uncle. She was taken, not willingly, by the king, who was added to a harem of virgins. This is not good stuff, really. Then, you know, chosen to be the queen, probably again, added to a whole number of others that he could have chosen, and only if it pleased the king would he see her. So, you know, she didn't have a good background or good history, a difficult, broken life in actual fact, but God used her mightily as a redeemer for her people. And God has placed us similarly on this earth to partner with him in the redemption of this world. That's the concept of tikkun olam, of repairing the world, joining in partnership with God to repair this world. We need to fully realize that God has placed us on this earth for such a time as this. And we are living at a very important juncture in history. I believe we are living during the end days when the birth pangs of the Messiah's return is all around us. Just as Mordechai and Esther found themselves to be at the right place at the right time, so we, as we trust in the Lord and make ourselves available to him, will be placed at the right time and the right place. If you are willing, if you have surrendered your life, if you are actually wanting to serve him. So therefore, as we've said, make yourself fully available to him. Ask him to lead you. Ask him to put you in that right place at the right time. Be a witness for Yeshua in these special days. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the story of Purim, for your faithfulness. And Lord, the truth is that you're always with us, even when it seems that you are hidden and that you are silent. We know that, Lord, you are always present in our lives and that you are the sovereign God who orchestrates the events of history to fulfill your purposes. And Lord, you have called us to partner with you. And Lord, we know that if we ourselves as individuals don't partner, you may find others to do it, but that you have called us for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being called co-laborers, partners in redemption. Thank you that you have called us as disciples. Help us to live this out in our lives and make a difference for Yeshua. For this we pray, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.